It's the Kim Munson Show. Analyzing the most important story.
The socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water, what it means is that government controls these through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapping down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field, in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. Thank you to the team that I work with. That's producer Steve, producer Joe, producer Luke, Zach, Echo, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Wednesday, producer Joe.
Happy Wednesday, Kim.
And the countdown is for Steve's retirement. We had a great little celebration yesterday. It was really, really nice to say thank you to Steve for all that you've done for me and for Crawford Broadcasting. And it was I learned some stuff, producer Steve, as you were sharing your story.
Oh, my gosh. What could you have possibly picked up from that?
I thought that was very interesting, your story about broadcast school and driving to broadcast school.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, there's something for said when you're something to be said for when you're in a group of people and you're the dinosaur. You certainly have a different view of things. But, you know, the funny thing, and I didn't say it yesterday, in that group of young people where I was clearly the senior person, we developed a, you know, there's that initial relationship where, you know, kind of like you're an oddity, but that's how quickly that dissolved after a while when it was time to kind of work together, you know, link arms and stuff. And it was a great experience for me. I really needed it.
Well, and I was, it's really kudos to you. So last week you were my featured guest and I learned a lot about you. You were in the Air Force, and then you were with United Airlines for many years, and then you decided to reinvent yourself and you wanted to get into broadcasting, and you were much older than all the other people at broadcast school. But I think that's really a credit to you, Steve, that you wanted to continue to learn and to continue to get better. And I think that is a great message to all of us. And then you've had a great career here at Crawford Broadcasting. And, of course, you're going to be very missed. But been doing great with Joe. He is just jumping in with both feet here, which is exciting. But you will be missed. But I think this is something for people to realize is to always be learning, and I love that about you.
Well, there was a little twist that probably didn't come across last Thursday, and I'll just take a minute, if you don't mind.
No, please.
In the military, wrestling with the decision to stay in or get out, and say, well, it's got to be better in the corporate world. So I make the transition, and then after 20 years in the corporate world, I realize, oh, wow. You know, there's something strange here. And then the opportunity to work on a church staff. Well, it's got to be better on a church staff. Well, guess what? You get into the church staff and you start seeing all the quirks and oddities there. And I quickly realized it's like the commonality here is human nature. And human nature is what human nature is. So anytime I was in one camp looking at the other camp and saying it's got to be better, it wasn't.
And so that was your founding father lesson, that human nature is constant, huh?
Yeah. I mean, people would come up to me in the church knowing I was on the staff and say, it's got to be so great to work here. And I look at them and say, you know, the greatest thing about working here is the people. And the worst thing about working here is the people.
That, you know, I grew up in a small town and I said, you know, the great thing about living in a small town is everybody knows everybody and what they're doing. And the bad news is that everybody knows everybody and what they're doing.
Yes.
So it's the same thing. So today, tomorrow and Friday is your last day here. And it's really been a fun ride with you. I mean, in some ways, it seems like it was just yesterday, but we've been together, let's see, 19, 20, 21, 20, 4.5 years. I mean, that's a long time. And, you know, Steve, to your credit, our credit, we basically have had original content every day. I think that there were maybe 2 days in all those years that and it was kind of a scramble. I think there were 2 days during COVID that we ended up having to pull some shows. Now, with America's Veteran Stories, that's different because those things are just golden, and I think it's great to hear those stories over. But that's kudos to both you and me, I would say, is original content for those 4.5 years, and we'll continue to work on that with Joe as well. But thank you for your dedication to making all that happen, Steve.
Well, I thank you for being the great motivator, and maybe I didn't realize it up front, 4.5 years ago. There is an incredible mission here for you and for Joe and anybody else here who on the Crawford team who contributes to the two shows that you take credit for. We are seeing things in our country right now that 25 years ago we would have never even thought possible. How could we possibly sink so low as a nation? But we're seeing it. And how many times have I said that when I took my military oath of enlistment, that phrase, against enemies, foreign and domestic. And after I put my arm down, I thought, well, what in the world is a domestic enemy? I mean, all our enemies are foreign.
Right. And yes, the attacks are huge inside of America as well. And so our mantra, what we do is we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And if something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And this force comes under a lot of different umbrellas now, under compassion, and they use fear. But it's never compassionate to take other people's rights. And that could be their property, their freedom, their livelihood, opportunity, or lives. And force obviously can be a weapon, but we're seeing it with policy and unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, government-induced inflation, that silent tax, and then this agenda by the World Economic Forum. And so we continue to shed light on this, and it is so important because we're in this big battle of ideas. And this quote has been attributed to Stalin, although I'm not totally sure that he said this, but it's still powerful nonetheless. And it is that ideas are more powerful than guns. We wouldn't let our enemies have guns. Why would we let them have ideas? And that is why this battle of ideas that is so important. And we want to help you get your brain around these issues so that you can engage with friends and family and colleagues, because what is bombarding people just constantly out there, I don't think that people quite understand what a dangerous time that we're in. So it's great, and it's been just great with you, Steve, as well. And we'll have a couple more days on that, and then Joe is behind the boards, and he's just stepped in and really, really embraced this, and I love that about him
as
well.
You have already discussed the possibility of future visits, let's just call it that. Although I got to tell you now, Alan Thomas and I have been corresponding, and I said, Alan, what the coolest thing I could think to do was to link up when you're here on a Friday. So beware.
Oh, that'd be great. That would be just awesome. So stay tuned. Stay tuned. So check out the website. That is kimmunson.com. That's Kim, KimMonson.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You will get first look at all of our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays. And you can email me at Kim@KimMonson.com. And thank you to all of you who contribute. We are an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And our essays, our regular essays are typically written by Rick Turnquist, Alan Thomas, Pam Long, and Brad Beck. And this most recent one that Rick Turnquist, we published it last Sunday, and it is economics. Exactly Wrong, Democrats and Economics. And boy, this has really hit a nerve. There's been almost 5,000 people that have liked that within just the last few days. And it is very well written, so be sure and check that out. But if you are on our email list, you will get a first look at those, so be sure and do that. Yesterday, Joe and I recorded our America's Veterans Stories for this Sunday, which broadcast 3 to 4 p.m., and then also there are two other America's Veterans Story shows that broadcast its previous interviews. So our original for this week is 3 to 4 p.m., and our guest is Steve Hadley, and he was a navigator on a sub-tracker airplane, and he did over 150 missions off of the USS Princeton during the Korean War. So it's really fascinating. And again, that will be this Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. Our word of the day is epical, and it is an adjective. And it could be highly significant or important, momentous, without parallel. And I said, we are at an epical time in the history of America. We must choose creation versus destruction, order versus chaos, life versus death, freedom versus tyranny. And those particular things cannot exist in the same space at the same time. So we certainly are at an epical time in our history. our quote of the day, because our guest, our featured guest in hour number one is Dr. Brian Dmitrievic. You know him. He's a great author. He's with the Laffer Center. He has a new book out that he's written, co-written with Arthur Laffer and another writer. And so I decided to go to Adam Smith. And Adam Smith was born in 1723. He died in 1790. He was a Scottish economist and philosopher who was a pioneer in the thinking of political economy and a key figure during the Scottish Enlightenment. Seen by some as the father of economics or the father of capitalism, he wrote two classic works, The Theory of Moral Sentiments and An Inquiry into the Nature and Causes of the Wealth of Nations. And interestingly, we did a pre-record for Labor Day with Scott Powell regarding Labor Day, and also we were talking about defending the Monument to Reconciliation in Arlington National Cemetery. But he made a point that Adam Smith wrote Wealth of Nations in 1776, which was obviously the year that the colonists, America, declared our independence. So there was a lot going on at that time. But he said this. He said, it is unjust that the whole of society should contribute towards an expense of which the benefit is confined to a part of the society. And Adam Smith said that all those years ago. And love doing this show, and I love working with my partners, my sponsor partners. And one of those is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. And Roger wants you to feel safe and well-served, to understand your insurance coverage, and know that their office will respond to your call or text 24 hours a day. And that is important to know, is to have an agent that instead of calling the 800 number, which can start a claim, you need to be more judicious with those claims. So the fact that you can reach out to the Roger Mangan team 24 hours a day is so important. So for that 24-hour peace of mind, call Roger Mangan at 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan insurance team is there.
Most of us have been there. That surprise crunch when you backed into a car in a parking lot or someone rear-ended you at a stoplight. First thing you do is stop and breathe. Second, say a prayer of gratitude that no one was hurt. Third, look for your insurance card. And fourth, be grateful that you have your insurance with Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. You can breathe easier knowing that you can reach the Roger Mangan team 24/7 when you need them. For that Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance peace of mind, call Roger Mangan today at 303-795-8855. That's 303-795-8855.
It's Colorado. We want warm homes in the winter and cool, comfortable homes in the summer. Johnny Stubbs Services is the heating and air conditioning company to call to ensure that your heating and cooling systems run efficiently and last for years. Johnny Stubbs Services' team of experts provide proper guidance to help you make informed decisions about your heating and cooling needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Johnny Stubb Services. Schedule your air conditioning check before summer arrives at johnnystubbservices.com and receive a great gift. That's johnnystubbservices.com.
No matter how you define it, inflation is out of control. Increasing prices at the gas pump and grocery stores are hurting everyday people. All these challenges we face are preventable. Individuals must understand what is going on and who is responsible. That is why Kim Munson is bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing our families, our communities, our state, and our country. Now more than ever, it's important to support Kim's independent voice. She has the courage to research and inform you about the real issues. It's not easy, and Kim could use your help. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute. Again, help Kim by contributing at KimMunson.com. That's MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is KimMunson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. The text line is 720-605-0647. And today is Wednesday, so that means that it is Wings Day at Hooters Restaurants. You buy 20 wings, you get an additional 10 for free, and that is for to-go or to dine in. And when I have the girls over, that is one of the things that I always get is the, actually the smoked wings. I like half of them Texas barbecue rub, the other half lemon pepper rub, and particularly I like to request all drums. And again, Hooters Restaurants, I think they have some of the best wings around. And Wednesday is Wings Day. And then something obviously very special I'm so excited about is Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week. Grand Lake is, it is just a gem in the Rocky Mountains, and I love the people there as well. And so Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week, this is their 12th annual, and it is September 11th through the 17th. And be sure and check out all their events and their speakers and just amazing speakers. But I did want to mention on Thursday night. Now, I'm not going to be able to get up there until Friday. But on Thursday night, Drew Dix, who is one of the co-founders of the Center for American Values, which is located in Pueblo, and he and Brad Padula founded the center because two things, to honor our Medal of Honor recipients, but also to make sure that spirit of honor, integrity, and patriotism, that we continue to foster that in ourselves and in our children. And you can get more information about the center by going to AmericanValueCenter.org. But Drew Dix will be the featured speaker. I think it is on Thursday evening. And again, he's a Medal of Honor recipient. There are 65 Medal of Honor recipients that are still living. And I tell you, my friends, it changes your life when you get to meet a real hero. And Drew Dix will be up at U.S. Constitution Week. And I think that that is on Thursday.
Can so I check, tell you check that your former producer will be there Saturday?
You will?
Yeah, I want to hear you and Dr. Carol Swain. I want to hear her, and I want to see the flyover, and I want to see the fireworks. So, yes, we will be there Saturday.
Awesome. That is, you will be so, so inspired. So get all that information by going to GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. That's GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. First headline I wanted to go to, and this was from Fox News, and I just found this somewhat interesting, the way two narratives kind of bumped up against each other. Now, many of you may know that there's this big thing in out in the Nevada desert, and it's called Burning Man. And climate protesters were ridiculed as the tribal police plow through Burning Man demonstration. And they said, bless those rangers. So that is the headline. But it says climate protesters in Nevada were arrested for blocking traffic on a busy road, which led to tribal police taking matters into their own hands, plowing the barricade set up by the demonstrators and making arrests. So these demonstrators had put up this barricade, and the traffic, the number of cars was just very, very long. People were not able to get into where they wanted to go. And I just find it, well, I'll go on. It says the outnumbered panel applauded the arrests and discussed why this method of activism is not productive and argued that protesters do not truly care about the environment. And I do care. I do agree with them. Says a video captured the chaotic moments when tribal police in Nevada dispersed at gunpoint a group of climate protesters who were blocking a road and causing a massive traffic jam for those that were trying to get to the Burning Man Festival. The footage taken Sunday at the beginning of the annual gathering in northern Nevada's Black Rock Desert shows a law enforcement vehicle smashing into a sign that reads, "Burners of the World Unite," and a trailer that had been set up across the road behind it. And then, "We are not violent, please. We have no weapons at all. We are environmental protesters," a woman is heard yelling as police handcuff one of the demonstrators. So, Steve, I wanted you to weigh in on this with me, but if that was any, well, the fact that it was tribal police that did this, if it wasn't tribal police, could you imagine the narrative on that? But here you've got this bumping up of Native Americans and eco-protesters. And I just found it, I guess humorous is not the right word, but I found it, I guess, a little humorous that here it was tribal police that handcuffed them. And boy, that goes against a narrative of police brutality, if you will. I just thought that was interesting. What do you think?
Well, does the word irony apply here?
Maybe that's it. It was ironic. Okay. Oh, good for you.
But, you know, as I'm reading it, you know, you said during pre-call, it's like, check up on this story because we want to talk about it on air. And I'm going through it. It's like, first of all, the protesters would stage it in such a fashion. I mean, the picture shows it's just a two-lane road in the Nevada desert with the, you know, the big rock monuments in the background. So you can envision to a degree what this looked like. They take the opportunity to blockade an event that many people want to come to so that they're guaranteed to cause a fuss. And when you see that picture of the long lines of traffic, then I got, you know, my mind went to the, you know, First Amendment and the rights to peaceably assemble. You know, if one of those stooges would stand up and saying, "Hey, we're just practicing our First Amendment rights," I'm thinking, what about the rights of the people who want to go to this event that you are preventing them from going to see in the name of whatever it is you stand for? And they just make such a mess so quickly. And don't think that it wasn't planned in advance, that it wasn't well thought out.
Right, and they had their phones out so that they could try to take video of the whole thing. But again, I think I was really searching for was ironic. It was ironic that it was tribal police that was moving these protesters off of this road. And
and your point's well made. Had it been more conventional municipal type police effort, And not just the tribal police. Oh my gosh, what a fuss that would have gone up from that.
Yes, absolutely. So anyway, very interesting on that. Next thing I wanted to go to, and it seems when I say that Colorado is at the tip of the spear, there is so much stuff that is happening in Colorado. And this is, again, this is from Fox News, and the headline, these pop-ups are just, 12-year-old boy booted from class over Gadsden flag patch on backpack. And they're saying it has origins of slavery. And I'm like, what? And so it says a video circulating on social media platform X, formerly Twitter, this week depicted a young elementary school student in Colorado Springs, Colorado, being removed from class for having a Gadsden flag patch on his backpack. Says the clip appeared to be recorded by 12-year-old Jaden's mother as she, her son, and a school administrator discussed the boy being pulled from class at the Vanguard School that day because of the patch. According to the staffer at the Colorado Charter School, the patch was disruptive to the classroom environment and that it had origins of slavery. And it goes on to say that Jaden's mother disputed the school staff member throughout the meeting, arguing that the flag originated during the American Revolution as a symbol of the 13 colonies' fight against the British Crown and did not promote slavery. And the video opens with Jaden, his mother, and the unnamed school administrator sitting down for a meeting in her office to discuss the school's dismissal from class. The staff member says, so the reason that they do not want the flag, the reason we do not want the flag displayed, is due to its origins with slavery and slave trade. The Gadsden flag, the mother asked, to which the staff member replied, the don't tread on me. Okay, so first of all, I did a little check and I found this super interesting. And this was published, again, when I say that the radical activist left is playing long ball, I'm not kidding. This is a piece that I found in the New Yorker from October 2nd of 2016. And it's titled The Shifting Symbolism of the Gadsden Flag. And it says in January of 2014, a African-American maintenance mechanic for the United States Postal Office in Denver. Again, my friends, in Denver, we are at the tip of the spear. Filed a complaint charging that he had been subjected to racial discrimination, specifically as a recent EEOC filing, as a matter put it, one of the man's co-workers repeatedly wore a cap to work with that he worked with an insignia of the Gadsden flag, which says, don't tread on me. The Postal Service dismissed the complaint. But this summer, that was 2 years later in 2016, that was reversed. And this is really a freedom of speech issue. It's not hurting anyone. It's not sitting on a road, disrupting people trying to get someplace. This is a freedom of speech issue. But again, when I say they're playing long ball, this was back in 2014. And this is not about slavery. This is about the American idea. And so the fact that this young boy was dismissed from school, that there was even this conversation, is rather astonishing that this is happening in the United States of America. Steve, do you want to weigh in on this at all?
Yeah, you know, your new producer, he might be 25 years in body, but in mind and personhood, he's 50. As you're describing...
And you mean that as a compliment.
Yes, because as you're sitting here describing this, he heaved the biggest, oh my gosh, kind of sigh. Can you believe it? And I thought, well, this is great. This was really great. In terms of this story, I just don't know. You know, their attempts to, like you said, change the significance and meanings of things that we have known for, you know, hundreds of years. All of a sudden now this means has a totally different meaning, and you better get in line, you know, with the new meeting, because, you know, we're coming after you. But this is sad. It really is.
Right.
And, you know, so, and in case we didn't describe it, you know, people in their minds envision that the don't tread on me is the verbiage, but it's a symbol or the picture is of a coiled snake. And, you know, I think Texas got a lot of mileage out of that, too, when they, not that they adopted it, but it was very common with Texas was trying to set things straight in terms of the way they see the world. Don't tread on me was a big deal.
Mm-hmm. And but just remember, meanwhile, back at the ranch during Pride Month at the White House, the Pride, again, I have that in air quotes, the Pride flag was actually flown at a more prominent spot or displayed at a more prominent spot than the United States flag. So we've got that happening at the White House. And then we have a kid in Colorado Springs that they say he can't wear a specific hat.
Hey, Joe, and I'm sorry to interrupt. Joe just brought up an incredible point about that flag. Go ahead.
So the Navy actually flies that flag on all of their ships during peacetime, saying, hey, don't mess with us. And it's also a symbol to Americans, hey, we're in peacetime right now.
Oh, I did not know that. But again, this attack upon these symbols of our founding, this is not by accident. And this particular school administrator in Colorado Springs is really carrying out something that is really assaulting the fabric of our founding. And so these are not small things that are happening here in our country. And when I say that Colorado is at the tip of the spear, I think that's one of the reasons why the USMC Memorial Foundation and what they are doing is so important regarding the Marine Memorial. We cannot let these stories go away. We need to honor those that have given their lives, have been willing to give their lives for our freedom. And so that is why helping them with the remodel is so important. And you can buy a brick to honor your military service. What a great thing to do. It's a great gift to those that you love. And you can get more information about all that by going to the USMC Memorial Foundation.org. That's USMC Memorial Foundation.org. And a person that has been a partner of mine in all that we're doing for quite some time is Karen Levine.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has nearly 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen Levine works to protect your property rights at the local, county, state, and national level. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Working with realtor Karen Levine helps you navigate through the process of buying or selling your home. Call Karen Levine to help you buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
A recent report notes that the number of children diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder is consistently and dramatically increasing. This is heartbreaking. If your child or grandchild or someone you know has been diagnosed with autism or ADHD following exposure to Tylenol or acetaminophen during pregnancy, call Boson Law at 303-999-9999. Boson Law is a Colorado-based law firm who has been fighting Big Pharma for over 20 years. Call now at 303-999-9999 for a free, no-obligation review of your potential claim. Call now at 303-999-9999.
Stay up to date on issues in public health and science by signing up and reading Dr. James Lyons Weiler's latest articles at Popular Rationalism on Substack. Find more information about Popular Rationalism at kimmunson.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And very pleased to have on the line with me Dr. Brian Dimitrovic. And he is the Richard S. Strong Scholar at the Laffer Center. He is interested in our economic history and the theory that went into making it for good or ill. He is the author of many books, three of them. I have two of them on my Freedom Library here at home. I need to get the next one. But he's the author of Econoclast, The Rebels Who Sparked the Supply-Side Revolution and Restored American Prosperity. Also, JFK and the Reagan Revolution, A Secret Story of American Prosperity, and his most recent book that he has co-written with Arthur Laffer and another author, and it's Taxes Have Consequences, An Income Tax History of the United States. Dr. Brian Dimitrovic, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kim.
Let's talk about your most recent book, and I wasn't quite sure how to pronounce the last name of your other co-author, so just to set that up for us.
Sure. The other co-author is Gene Sinkfield.
And tell us about this, because taxes really do have consequences, and the income tax... first of all, I think they say if you want less of something, that you tax it. So I've found that this constitutional amendment to our Constitution, where we decided to tax income, I think is very destructive. What do you think?
Yeah, we began our book, Kim, in 1913, the very year that that income tax amendment passed, the 16th Amendment to the Constitution, and we think it was a catastrophic mistake, yes. I mean, if you want to tax income, you're going to get less income. You might even say that's the thesis of our book. If you tax income, you'll get less of it. You'll certainly get less of it reported in the tax system, in the tax code that it's 70,000 pages now, and it's always been very long since the very beginning, affords all sorts of opportunity not to report income. that otherwise would be taxable. And that, of course, is an efficiency loss to the economy. So we think it's no accident that we used to have much higher rates of economic growth before 1913 than we have since.
Well, in 70,000 pages, Brian, in my journey, I've realized that big government and big business like each other. And it used to be the narrative that the Republican Party was the big business fat cats. But we're looking now over here and we see that the Democrat Party, particularly through the reaction to COVID, that big business and big government like each other. So it, I don't think that has a party. And the fact that you then have 70,000 pages that has different policies where people don't have to pay taxes. We need to, I think, rip that apart, and we need to make sure that everybody has skin in the game and equal skin in the game. What do you think?
Absolutely. 70,000 pages of exemptions and escape hatches from the tax code is an advantage to size. It's an advantage to big business. Who has the wherewithal to survey the best route through 70,000 pages? Well, a big company. A small company doesn't have that wherewithal. So there's been collusion between big business and government towards tax complexification because that redounds to the benefits of big business against their smaller competitors.
Well, and then the fact that Biden has wants to hire 87,000 IRS agents, and the Republicans that run the are in charge of the House of Representatives right now and in charge of the purse could have said no, but and I'm not seeing the political will right now with McCarthy and the Republicans to pull in that purse. And what do you see with that, Brian?
Kim, one of our favorite vignettes of both the Dr. Laffer, Gene Sinkfield, and I in the book is from 1937, when Franklin Roosevelt really increased the top rate of the income tax from 63 all the way up to 79%. It had been just 25% a few years before. And the revenue from the top, those top rates was nowhere near what the projection said it would be. And the Treasury Secretary, Henry Morgenthau, testified to Congress about it. And he said, the problem is that the more we raise the top tax rate, the more that lawyers populate the tax bar. So when we hire more Revenue Bureau agents, it will pit these agents against the best in the legal profession. And then that tax bar legal profession will identify the best 5 to 10% of our revenue agents and hire them privately at 10 times the pay to fight for their clients. We are training the tax-exempt lawyer bar. And there's no way we can win this. The only way we can win it is by lowering tax rates. So you want to hire 87,000 IRS agents? Well, by definition, they're going to be the worst IRS agents on your field because you already hired the best ones. And corporations will just have a field day defeating them at the bar.
But, Brian, what does that mean for everyday people? I'm so concerned that people will get this letter, and it might be a thousand here, a couple thousand here. They'll go ahead and just send it in. And once again, that starts to take money from everyday people. I'm concerned that 87,000 IRS agents are going to be going after the middle class, which I feel has really been under attack.
Well, Kim, you put your finger on it. That's the only thing they can do because they necessarily will be the worst IRS agents, the least experienced. They weren't hired to begin with. So if they go after rich people, they'll be defeated because the rich people will run circles around them. So their only option is to go after people who are not rich. So I think you're right. The only option for 87,000 new IRS agents is to go after people who are not as familiar and don't have the resources with taxation. So, yes, I think it's kind of a mathematical certainty. The only thing the 87,000 agents would be doing is going after the middle and working classes.
Boy, and the middle class, Dr. Brian Dmitrovic, it's something that is almost unique, I think, to America. The fact that in America, people could come here with basically nothing and create something, create wealth for themselves and their families. And we have this big, broad middle class that has been thriving and flourishing. But it seems, for example, during the COVID reaction, that the big business was considered essential, but yet the mom and pop operations, Main Street, was considered unessential. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing during that, Brian.
Well, Kim, you're a patriot. I mean, you're pro-American. I mean, of course, we know that the middle class and has been the backbone of the United States' allure abroad, but also the entrepreneurial rich. I mean, you can make it in the United States. You can really make it. So, but if you're not so convinced about the American experiment, I mean, look at the George Floyd riots, look at the 1619 Project. Do these people think that the American experiment should continue? No. I mean, if you don't like America, we'll stick 87,000 IRS agents on the middle class, and everyone will not like America. So it's consistent with anti-Americanism to kind of go after the middle class like this.
Okay. And I wanted to go back to 1913. That was the year that several of the progressive amendments were added to the Constitution by basically the people of America. What set that up? What was happening in 1913, 1914?
Yeah, there was absolutely no reason for an income tax. I mean, the reason it was passed was that the tariff, which had been the workhorse of federal revenue since the beginning, 1789, had become so divisive politically because every line in the tariff was kind of bought and paid for by a big company, to kind of make sure that their inputs weren't taxed and that their competition was taxed. And people have really gotten sick of that favor trading mechanism. But still, taxation was only about 3% of GDP. Federal taxation is now, 17% of GDP, just the federal level. So there was no reason for it. Just lower the tariff. And we knew at that time, if you just lower the tariff rates by the Laffer curve effect, you'd have more revenue. So the solution to the tariff was just lowering the rates. Instead, what they did, and the tariff was a political problem, not an economic problem. They knew how to get more money out of the tariff, just lower the rates. Everyone knew that in the 19th century, talked about it ad nauseum on the floor of Congress. But instead of doing that, they said, well, why don't we overlay it with another tax system? And the funny thing is, they did then lower the tariff rates, and the tariff then, became more of a workhorse of revenue. So it was just a public policy mistake, and I think if they had waited just a year, 6 months, to 1914 in the international crisis, they would have been much more careful about, don't upset the apple cart of our constitutional system because, the world's at war. So it was a mistake.
Well, and the other thing that happened, so the 16th Amendment was ratified in 1913 as well as the 17th Amendment. And so the 16th Amendment was the income tax amendment, but the 17th Amendment was changing the way we voted for senators. And that was a big effect upon the Constitution because the founders had really worked to try to get this balance of power between the people and the federal government, but also the states. And so changing how we voted for senators from the states voting for it to a popular vote, that really kind of shifted the balance of power. But it was subtle, but I don't think people have really realized it, how that really has kind of affected the balance of power that the founders were so adamant on trying to create that very delicate balance.
No, I agree with you. State legislatures picked senators before, and now there are statewide beauty contests, with millions of people in California's case, 40 million, 30 million, their population's going down, 38 million people voting instead of just, a handful of legislators. And, the founders had great wisdom in that, is that the legislators in the states, the assembly representatives are voted by just a few number of people, and then they'll vote for the senators. It's a much more efficient system. And then there was another slew, not only the women's right to vote, but also the Prohibition Amendment of, that took effect in 1920. And the point of that was the United States was getting so much alcohol taxation. With an income tax, it didn't need the alcohol taxation. And so we can now have prohibition. And, we know what happened there in terms of organized crime, et cetera. So repealed, 1933. So the income tax amendment was just in the context of all these other kind of crazy schemes to rejigger the way everyone conducts their life. And, the end result was the Great Depression.
that to actually correlate that is so important. And I'm talking with Dr. Brian Dimitrovic. Most recent book is Taxes Have Consequences, an Income Tax History of the United States. I'd recommend that you have these books, hard copy, on your Freedom Library at home. And he mentioned beauty contests regarding voting for senators in California, which I think is a great segue to mention Janssen Photography, another great sponsor of the show. Janssen Photography is located in Lakewood, Colorado, and Glenn and Mary Janssen are truly entrepreneurs, and Glenn can really work magic with the camera. They specialize in portraits of families, children, senior portraits, and then you really do need to have that professional photo for your business or political career. You can get more information by going to Janssen Photography. That is J-A-N-S-S-E-N, photography.com. A great sponsor of the show, as well as Lauren Levy.
Knowledge is power. A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all your questions are answered. With nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Kim Munson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Munson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Franktown Firearms wants you to be comfortable with your firearm purchase, so they make it easy for you. At Franktown, they know you want to try a firearm before you commit to your purchase. Franktown has a 10-lane, 30-yard range built into it that can handle handguns, rifles, and black powder loads, making your firearm purchase informed and insightful. An hour of range time is included with any purchase, so you can verify that you've made the right choice and for you to get to know your new firearm. And training courses are available to teach you safety and techniques to operate it confidently. Whether you're a first-time buyer or seasoned expert, Franktown's dedicated staff and expert trainers will walk you through your decision. They help you to try the firearms that you're interested in, ensuring that they're the right option for your specific needs. Whether you're looking for your first firearm or adding to your vast collection, contact Franktown Firearms today by going to klzradio.com/franktown. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. On the line with me is Dr. Brian Dimitrovic, and he is the Richard S. Strong Scholar at the Laffer Center. He is interested in our economic history and the theory that went into making it for good or for ill. Most recent book is Taxes Have Consequences, an Income Tax History of the United States. Dr. Dimitrovic co-wrote this with Arthur Laffer and Jeannie Sinkfield. And Brian, I wanted to ask you about the recent meeting of BRICS, which is the meeting of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And they're talking about moving away from the petrodollar to a different currency, which could be very bad for America. What do you think?
The history of these things is not distinguished. I mean, we had all these international organizations where all the major countries were supposed to get together, beginning with, say, Bretton Woods in 1944. You know, we've had this G7, used to be the G5, then the G20, the OECD, and it's really hard to identify how any of this so-called coordination leads to anyone's benefit. What happens is that if a country has low taxes, low regulation, excellent currency, investment flocks to it. If other countries want to link their currencies to that strong currency, it usually works out great. Bretton Woods period after World War II is that way. The United States had a good, strong gold dollar. Everyone had fixed rates of exchange to the dollar, worked wonderfully. You raise taxes, raise regulations, have capital, have all sorts of controls on your economy. Nobody wants your currency, and nobody wants to link to it. So the Chinese may have thought that all that shuttle diplomacy that all these Western leaders were doing after 1945, all the way up to today, all these meetings, that they matter. The Chinese may have been fooled on that. And if so, the United States will do very well if it acts on its advantage.
Okay. But there is so much that is occurring from bad public policy. We just passed the anniversary of the Inflation Creation Act. Printing all of these dollars, which I think is putting us in a very dangerous position. What do you think, Brian?
Well, yeah, I think those are two sides of the same coin. So under Biden, we've had, 17% inflation since Biden took office. So the dollar's depreciated against all goods and services, one price of those things, goods worldwide, by 17%. Well, who wants to hold on to the dollar globally if it's going to depreciate by 17% every, 20 months, 18 months? Nobody. So, of course, there's going to be a groping alternative for some kind of different currency if the dollar's not going to base. And that's what BRICS is, ultimately, is to say, how are we going to organize our currency system if the dollar is lousy? Yeah, that's an obligation of American leadership. Nobody else in the world. Who denominates their accounts in the Chinese yuan? Nobody. Nobody, because they'll be confiscated. The world needs an independent, free currency that's really strong. Biden is not delivering it. So there's this process of discovery about what the potential alternatives can be, and there really are none outside of like gold and maybe Bitcoin. So the United States has to kind of step up and just say, hey, the world is screaming for currency leadership, and you're not offering it. Offer it, please.
Well, but it seems that that it's not because Biden or the Biden administration is incompetent. It seems like this is by design. And can we get this turned around, Brian?
Yeah, Kim, I mean, I have to be indulged in that. I know these people came out of the 1960s left. I mean, Biden certainly did, and then they have their spawn and the squad and all that stuff, and George Floyd. I'm supposed to say that these people, want the best for America? I don't know why I'm supposed to say that. They don't want to solve problems. I mean, you give me maybe Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, to a degree, even Barack Obama, because he walked away from Bill Ayers ultimately. They're like, okay, we can handle the status quo of America. I think these people come from a little more radical tradition on the left. And, the radical left has never wished America well.
Well, and we had something rather remarkable just happen out here in Colorado. There was a vacancy in the Colorado legislature. A Democrat representative was elected to Denver City Council. And the person that was appointed is an actual cultural Marxist, a teacher. His social media posts say that. And I could not believe how far the Democrat Party in Colorado has moved to the activist left. And Colorado, I feel, and you know Colorado, I really feel that we're at the tip of the spear of much of the stuff that is happening, Brian.
Yeah, I am worried about these cultural types really infiltrating all of our institutions. We see them, in the state secretaries of state and Department of Justice now. We certainly see that. I'm still fairly optimistic about Colorado. I mean, you have a superior here at the Laffer Center, Arthur Laffer. He says you have a hyperactive governor in Jared Polis who wants to take the income tax to zero. So it's really hard to be an aggressive leftist when free market capital is pouring into your economy because you have a zero income tax rate. I mean, you really become irrelevant in that category. I know here we're working with Governor Polis on thinking about a property tax cap in Colorado. We're doing that in Tennessee right now, and it's working, and we're going to take it nationally. Well, you have a property tax cap and a zero income tax. You're going to make the Marxists irrelevant. So they better shout now why they have their chance in Colorado.
Okay. My concern is that, yes, we get to a zero income tax, but then it's a death by a thousand cuts through rules and regulations and fees and so I'm concerned about that with Jared Polis, Brian.
Well, I completely agree with you that is a very serious potential problem, and we have seen that play out so many times. Since Reagan cut tax rates from 70 down to 28%, the swamp realized, okay, the nation's a brick wall in that top tax rate, so we're going to shift to an alternative strategy of laying on regulations. Regulations are much more difficult to get your hands on if you want to cut them. You can't even identify them. You don't even know what they are. They're stealth. So, yes, that is a very significant problem that the left then sashays over to the regulatory states, and you have to be very vigilant about that. And if that's happening, I think, first of all, that's a sign that there really is momentum on the tax cut side, and the left realizes it has to shift into another domain of regulation. So then you got to go there and get them.
Okay. So, Brian, we have just about a minute left, and many times when I look at the inflation, I'm concerned about the dollar. I have a listener, Alan, who is very thoughtful, has been concerned regarding the petrodollar. But you're the eternal optimist, I think, Brian. So give us some optimism here.
Sure. Well, the United States, the world wants a great currency, so the United States should go back on the gold standard. I mean, that's what it should do. And the price of oil should be low. When Ronald Reagan cut tax rates from 70 down to 28, the price of oil went from 40 to 12. You know, and nobody talked about a petrodollar anymore because everyone was throwing their money into American businesses. Stock market went up 15-fold. We only started talking about a petrodollar in 1973 and then in the early 2000s when the economy went in the tank. So we can, if we're worried about the petrodollar, what we can do is make the problem irrelevant by just eliminating our barriers to investment. I'll say this about Joe Biden and the squad and AOC. They haven't even thought about suggesting of introducing a bill saying we should raise the top rate of the income tax. They haven't even expressed the thought. That's how scared they are of doing it. So I think that there is an absolute national consensus that taxes in this country are too high. If AOC would like to say otherwise, where's her bill saying raise taxes? It doesn't exist. So everyone knows you can't raise taxes, and the only direction is down. That big powder is just there in the American public. And there's just a demand to lower these things, and we just need one office holder to get in there and say, okay, let's act on this national consensus, and then we'll have the great boom of the 80s and 90s again.
Awesome. Dr. Brian Dmytrovic, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it. And again, that great new book is Taxes Have Consequences, an Income Tax History of the United States. Brian, we'll be in touch. We'll have you on again soon.
Sure thing.
And our quote for the end of the show is from Adam Smith. He said, as soon as government management begins, it upsets the natural equilibrium of industrial relations, and each interference only requires further bureaucratic control until the end is the tyranny of the totalitarian state. So again, Adam Smith, back in 1776. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. You are not, my friends, you are not alone. God bless you. God bless America. Stay tuned for hour number two.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show. Analyzing the most important story.
The socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water, what it means is that government controls these through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapping down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field, in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. And thank you to the team that I work with, producer Steve, producer Joe, producer Luke, Zach, Echo, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Wednesday, producer Joe.
Happy Wednesday, Kim.
And does producer Steve have his ears on as well?
Yes, ma'am, he does.
Okay, producer Steve, the countdown. three more days till you are in retirement. But you said you're not going to totally go away.
Oh, no. Well, yeah. Let's see where that goes. Yeah, I'm going to exercise. And somebody surprised me the other day. They came into the studio here and they yelled the word short, which obviously means they must have been in the military, because that's something military people did when they were getting close to the end of the assignment, or maybe getting close to the end of their term of service. So I'm short.
Yes, but I know that you, I think you'll be calling in from time to time, so that will be good. But Joe is, and I love having this young this young influence also on the show. So with Joe, and then producer Luke is on regularly. I love having that perspective, because those are things that we need to be listening to. So very excited about what you're doing, Joe, and behind the boards, and you're really doing a great job. And so I'm very excited about it. It's one of those things that when things work well, you just kind of take it for granted. And of course, with live radio, Joe, you and I were talking about it yesterday. There can always be something that happens, but I think people take for granted the fades and how good those are, and then those segues to our advertisers. And you're really doing a good job with that, producer Joe.
Thank you. I know I definitely did. Just listening to radio, I didn't realize that someone was actually doing that the whole time until I started doing it myself.
And now it's you. So it's great to have you behind the boards. Check out our website. That is kimmunson.com. That's MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You will get first look at our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent essays. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And I tell you what, there's been a tremendous amount of interest in Rick Turnquist's most recent essay, Exactly Wrong, Democrats and Economics, and almost 5,000 people have liked it. And there are also people that have not liked it. I've seen some of the comments that have been coming in on Facebook. So again, be sure and check that out. Our America's Veterans Story Show this Sunday. We did an interview with Steve Hadley yesterday. Super interesting. He flew on sub-tracker planes, over 150 missions or 150 takeoffs and landings off of the USS Princeton during the Korean War. And that show will broadcast this Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. on all KLZ 560 platforms. So you will want to check that out. Our word of the day is epochal. It's an adjective, and it could be highly significant or important, momentous, without parallel. And the sentence I created was, we are at an epochal time in the history of America. We must choose creation versus destruction, order versus chaos, life versus death, liberty versus tyranny. These are important decisions, and these things cannot exist in the same space at the same time. And you see that creation, order, life, liberty, those are those big words of the sanctity of the individual. And then what we see with the radical activist left is the other side, destruction, chaos, death, tyranny. And so we truly are at an epochal time in our history. Our quote of the day, I went to Adam Smith because first our guest was Dr. Brian Dmitrovic, and he is an economic historian. So I went to Adam Smith, and Adam Smith was a Scottish economist and philosopher who was a pioneer in the thinking of political economy and a key figure during the Scottish Enlightenment, seen by some as the father of economics or the father of capitalism. He wrote two classic works, The Theory of Moral Sentiments and An Inquiry into the Nature and Causes of the Wealth of Nations. He was born in 1723. He died in 1790. And he published The Wealth of Nations in 1776. And what an interesting time to be alive, 1776. I would say that we have a paralleled interesting time right now. But this is his quote. He said, "It is unjust that the whole of society should contribute towards an expense of which the benefit is confined to a part of the society." And again, that is Adam Smith. I wanted to get over here to headline, and this is one that Patty had sent over. And that is, hold on here, I got to find it. It is regarding cash for clunkers. Let's see where I have that. Let me get to that. So anyway, I'll just go to headlines again and pull that again. This is quite interesting. And this is from the Colorado Sun, and also the Denver Post had reported on this. It says, Colorado Revives, the Cash for Clunkers, is offering $6,000 for an old car that you trade in for an EV. It says, piling clunker credits on top of existing state and federal electric vehicle rebates can land you a very, very cheap new car. Quite frankly, if something is a good idea, you should not have to force or subsidize people to do it. And it says, this is again from the Colorado Sun. It says, car buyers, fire up your internet and get your websites preloaded. The Colorado Electric Vehicle Cash for Clunkers program starts Thursday at 9 a.m. with $6,000 in extra rebates available for the first few hundred people who sign up and are willing to turn in their older fossil fuel powered car. Those participating in Vehicle Exchange Colorado must apply the $6,000 towards a qualifying new or leased electric vehicle or plug-in hybrid electric vehicle, or take $4,000 off a used EV. The electrification rebates tend to go fast, and Colorado has $1.8 million for the first year of the Clunkers Exchange rebates and hopes to expand the budget for the next fiscal year starting in July 2024. Colorado Energy Office Program Manager Ed Pierce said the state expects the exchange program to last 4 years and ramp up financing that it proves popular. So once again, I would say, don't do it. Keep your clunker. These cars will become more and more valuable. We see what is happening in Colorado is there's public policy that is trying to make, this public policy is making electricity more expensive. And so this is not about cash for clunkers. Ultimately, this is about freedom of mobility. And just think about it. Let's say that you're living in an apartment building. There is no way that there is going to be enough charging stations for all the people living in an apartment building to charge their cars. So ultimately, the idea that you would plug your car in and then overnight, and then you come back and it would be ready to go the next morning, somebody else is going to want to be charging as well. And so I would say, don't do it. And obviously, it is not going well if they have to add in another another free thing for people to get into these EVs. And remember, my friends, that socialism is not about free stuff. Free stuff is just the carrot to get you to do something. But ultimately, it will come down to control. And who will be controlling that power source? With your gas-powered vehicle, you can go and fill up with fuel at any time that you want. And if you have a full gas tank, you will be assured that you could drive a certain amount of miles. But if you're having to wait for a charge, and the powers that be determine whether or not through a smart meter, whether or not you can charge your vehicle or not, you could certainly see an assault upon your freedom of mobility. And what about if there's danger? What about if there is a fire, for example, in Lahaina, and you had an electric vehicle and you wanted to get out of there and it was not charged? Well, quite frankly, that probably might have worked out better this in Lahaina, because all of those cars that you see burned out, there were people in them. And what we're hearing out of Lahaina is that there was a police officer, that there was a roadblock, and they were not letting those people exit that particular area. So once again, we each of us, one of the tenets of freedom is to be self-assertive, to make sure that we're doing things to take care of ourselves and our family. And so I would highly recommend that you not take part of this Cash for Clunkers. Steve, did I hear that you wanted to jump in on this at all or not?
You know, I wasn't going to until you talked about range. In your gas-powered vehicle, you have, you know, you fill the tank and you have an expected range. And I just, you know, this is another one of those let the buyer beware type of thing. Story that was going around early December last year, some gentleman, he probably wished he wouldn't have done this, but he bought his EV earlier in the year, and I guess he was really enjoying it to a degree for, you know, for the whatever reason. But he
and
got,
I do hear that Tesla cars are neat. I do hear that there's cool bells and whistles. I get
see
that.
Them so on the road all the time, and I think, I wonder what it's like to drive that. And, yeah. But this guy, cold weather had set in, and all of a sudden his range started dropping off, and he was upset about it. He took it to the dealer, and the dealer's kind of scratching their head, saying, well, sir, you're using your heater more, your defroster, this, and that. It's going to impact your range, and he didn't know that. And I'm thinking, let the buyer beware. If you're, your state of knowledge is such that you didn't know that going in, oh my gosh. So that's just the icing on the cake. That whole topic, you could spend three or four shows, you know, discovering all the unique things that there are to know about EVs. And again, we are not EV, anti-EV. We're just saying that, hey, the technology is not where the government claims it really is.
Well, and the other thing is, though, is ultimately this could can come down to control. I mean, when you look at the powers that be, they want to restrict your freedom of mobility, but yet we don't see John Kerry and company on electric jets, because that would be one heck of a battery and one heck of an extension cord. And so we need to have civic knowledge. We need to understand our founding. And that is why the Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week is so important. This is their 12th annual. It is September 11th through the 17th. And you can get all the information by going to GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. But it is just so special. And producer Steve said he's going to be up there for the main event on the 16th. I will be emceeing that event. And the main the keynote speaker is Dr. Carol Swain. So that is going to be super interesting as well. But it starts on Monday the 11th, and you can find all of the events and speakers by going to GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. That's GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. And sponsors of the show, well, all of you who support us is great. And we're going to have something new that we're going to roll out very, very soon. So stay tuned on that. But also, I work with people as sponsors that strive for excellence. And one of those sponsors is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. And Roger served his customers and provided for his family and given back to his community for 47 years. And so for all of your help with your insurance needs, call Roger Mangan at 303-795-8855. That's 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan Insurance Team is there.
Most of us have been there. That surprise crunch when you backed into a car in a parking lot or someone rear-ended you at a stoplight. First thing you do is stop and breathe. Second, say a prayer of gratitude that no one was hurt. Third, look for your insurance card. And fourth, be grateful that you have your insurance with Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. You can breathe easier knowing that you can reach the Roger Mangan team 24/7 when you need them. For that Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance peace of mind, call Roger Mangan today at 303-795-8855. That's 303-795-8855.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has nearly 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen Levine works to protect your property rights at the local, county, state, and national level. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Working with realtor Karen Levine helps you navigate through the process of buying or selling your home. Call Karen Levine to help you buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N, KimMunson.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And my friends, it is so important to keep our brains learning, be intellectually curious. And one of the ways to do that is to check out IPAC-EDU. That's IPAK-EDU. And Dr. James Lansweiler, the courses that he is putting together to match up wonderful, fabulous instructors with those of us that are intellectually curious at a very affordable tuition rate. And if you put in Munson when you are signing up for your course, you will get a discount. I have signed up, and my friend Christy Whaley as well, for a course that starts next Thursday evening, being taught by by Brad Miller, who was just short of retirement with the United States Air Force, but refused to take the jab and refused to have those under his command take the jab. And so he decided to go ahead and resign, which really left a lot of money on the table. And he's going to be teaching a course. Basically, it's going to be literature and totalitarianism. So be going through like 1984 by George Orwell. And again, we'd love to have you join us. So check that out. It is IPAC-EDU.org. And again, Dr. James Lansweiler is matching up the intellectually curious with great instructors. And speaking of intellectually curious, it is a Trent Luce Wednesday. Trent Luce, welcome to the show.
I like that, intellectually curious.
And you are a sixth-generation farmer and rancher. And we had Daniel Turner on yesterday with Power of the Future. And he was talking about rural America, how people in rural America, they are feeding and fueling the people in these urban corridors. And it is important that we continue to talk about this so that people understand that somebody produces that food that is in the grocery store. Somebody delivers that food to the grocery store. And it is affordable, reliable, efficient, and abundant energy that makes all that happen, Trent Luce. So first thing, though, I wanted to get an update on these CO2 pipelines. And in fact, you mentioned last week that there's a couple of Democrat governors that are a little more ambivalent about it, but that we've actually seen Republican governors in some of these Western states that are carrying the water on these CO2 pipelines. And I got several text messages from people that they said, like, Christy Noem, South Dakota, really? So give us an update.
Christy Noem's the worst, by the way. Christy Noem is not what people outside of South Dakota think that she is. Her two main sponsors for her inaugural ball this year were Poet Nutrition, which is involved in the Navigator CO2 pipeline, and Summit Carbon Solutions, which has over 70% of the total contracts on the CO2 pipeline in the six-state region that I'm talking about, and that would be Illinois, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota, and North Dakota. And Governor Doug Burgum from North Dakota is no better. In fact, the reason that the injection sites are in North Dakota, that everybody says, Kim, that we need to get the CO2 to the Bakken, and we need to use it for enhanced oil recovery. Well, I talked to the folks in the petroleum business, and CO2 does assist in recovering oil from the fracking systems of the Bakken, but it works best when it's blended 50% natural gas, 50% CO2. But all of that is for naught, because when it goes to a pipeline and they being Summit Carbon Solutions or whoever is piping the CO2, when it goes to these injection sites, which are proposed to be in Mercer County, North Dakota, the CO2 must be entombed in these injection sites for 12 years, according to their payment structure. Well, you and I both know at the rate technology is moving, within 12 years, there's going to be some other technology that comes along that they say is better for enhanced oil recovery. It's just and now we're up to 200 landowners in the state of South Dakota that have been handed eminent domain papers saying that we're going to take your land, whether you want us to or not. Kristi Noem, as governor last year, at the potential reelection, campaigned that her top priority was property rights, and nothing was more important to property rights in South Dakota. And she has not done one thing to help a South Dakota landowner. In fact, her son-in-law is working for an outfit that's tied into the CO2 pipeline. And when Kristi Noem was confronted by a friend of mine, Jared Bosley, last summer and said, Kristi, you're campaigning on property rights. When are you going to help me with what's going on these eminent domain papers on our property? She looked at Jared Bosley and said, I can't fix all of your problems, too. And so the governors of North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Iowa all have an R behind their name, and they are all championing the CO2 pipeline. And my current governor of Nebraska, Jim Pillen, documents show that Summit gave him $50,000 in his campaign last year. And Kim Reynolds, in what is taking place in the Iowa Utilities Board hearing this week, whether or not they're going to permit Summit Carbon Solutions in Iowa, is right out of the playbook of Mao Zedong from China. They're creating an environment where the entire security, and they've never had security at any hearing, and Steve King in the U.S. Senate from Iowa U.S. House for 18 years tells me he's never seen any Senate or U.S. hearing that has the same level of security and animosity as what's taking place right now today in Fort Dodge, Iowa. Overwatch is providing with a hired security firm, which is Summit's hired security firm, and the Iowa Utilities Board is using a Summit-based security group to guard their meeting. They're towed off Anna Ryan's legal van. She set up a shop to help landowners at the location with permission, and they towed her off. Summit's attorneys are getting a backdoor entrance into these hearings, treated with a red carpet kind of an entrance. Meanwhile, the landowners and their attorneys are waiting. Last week, the wait was 45 minutes in the sun, and just a two-class society treatment. What is taking place on the CO2 mafia is absolutely un-American, and people cannot believe it's happening in the United States.
I can't believe it either.
Starters, Kim.
Yeah. 200 landowners in eminent domain.
In South Dakota alone. That doesn't count the 93 in Iowa.
And this will be taking land out of production, obviously, for this pipeline. Isn't it interesting that there's support for a CO2 pipeline, but yet one of the things that Biden, the first thing that he did when he went into the Oval Office was that he shut down the Keystone XL pipeline? Isn't that interesting?
Correct. It is interesting. In fact, it's his incentives that continue. The Inflation Reduction Act moved this from $50 per metric ton to $85 per metric ton to put this CO2 in the earth. And that is what sent the windfall. Everybody's just chasing it like they're going to Vegas, going to win the lottery.
Boy, and again, public policy. I had Dr. Brian Dmitrovic on in the first hour, and he works with Arthur Laffer at the Laffer Curve. And we were talking about incentives and rules and regulations. The tax code is 70,000 pages long. And you don't need 70,000 pages to make sure that we have equity in taxes, that everybody has skin in the game, and that we're not picking winners and losers. It takes 70,000 pages to pick winners and losers. And that's exactly what's happened with what you're talking about with this. Is it a tax credit, and how it's up, well over 50%. So is it a tax credit, or how does that work exactly, Trent Luce?
Well, they're getting direct payments, the people who
are getting
the pipeline. Yes. And by the way, this is not a Democrat versus Republican issue. This is a control of this country. It was a 45Q tax credits that came from the 2008 George Bush initiative. And then through the Use It Act, which was approved and championed by Donald Trump in 2020, gave $50 of tax credit to the from the 45Q, and then it was the Inflation Reduction Act that moved it to $85. So that is, it encompasses both parties. So it's not just a Biden problem. I wanted to point that out, that this stems back, clear back to George W. Bush.
Wow. Okay. This is so important to shed light on this, and so I'm talking with Trent Luce, and we are in such an interesting time, and we need to understand our history. We need to understand our Constitution, and that's why what's happening up in Grand Lake, September 11th through the 17th, U.S. Constitution Week. It is their 12th annual U.S. Constitution Week, and you can get more information about the events, the speakers, what's going to be going on. I'll be up there on the 16th. We'll be the MC. The keynote is Dr. Carol Swain. But it starts on Monday the 11th. Great speakers. Check everything out at GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. Show comes to you. We have these important discussions because of sponsors like Johnny Stubbs Heating and Air Conditioning Services.
It's Colorado. We want warm homes in the winter and cool, comfortable homes in the summer. Johnny Stubbs Services is the heating and air conditioning company to call to ensure that your heating and cooling systems run efficiently and last for years. Johnny Stubbs Services' team of experts provide proper guidance to help you make informed decisions about your heating and cooling needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Johnny Stubbs Services. Schedule your air conditioning check before summer arrives at JohnnyStubbsServices.com and receive a great gift. That's JohnnyStubbsServices.com.
Knowledge is power. A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all your questions are answered. With nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Kim Munson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
Stay up to date on issues in public health and science by signing up and reading Dr. James Lyons Weiler's latest articles at Popular Rationalism on Substack. Find more information about Popular Rationalism at kimmunson.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Wanted to mention the Center for American Values that is located in Pueblo, Colorado on the beautiful Riverwalk. And they actually have right in front of the center a monument made from some of the steel from the Twin Towers. And they always have a recognition event of 9/11. I'm going to be down in Pueblo for that. And then that afternoon, they're going to have a values presentation with two people that I know very well. And that is Henry Jones and Joan Anello. And Joan is the widow of Joe Anello, Korean decorated war veteran, and it's going to be just a really great event. So go to AmericanValueCenter.org for more information. That's AmericanValueCenter.org. Trent Luce is on the line with me. He's a sixth-generation farmer and rancher, and I want to drill down a little bit more on eminent domain. Eminent domain, it was intended to be a very narrow power, and the government could take land or property if it was something that was needed, really, I would say, for the whole general welfare of the country. So an example was when Eisenhower came back from World War II, he had seen the Autobahn The Germans had the Autobahn, and he realized that we did not have an interstate highway system where we could move goods and actually and military if we needed to. And so he started the interstate highway system, and land was taken via eminent domain for that because it was deemed for the general welfare of the complete country. I know that they're probably trying to say taking this land via eminent domain for these CO2 pipelines because they're saying CO2 is a greenhouse gas and that that is bad. That's probably why they're couching it that way. Is that correct, Trent Luce?
Yeah, and the term is public use. The constitutionality is whether this is a public use product and a project. And you're spot on. They try to claim that CO2 is a greenhouse gas, so consequently they need to bury it. Problem is that the Navigator pipeline, which, by the way, is 84% owned by BlackRock, 14% owned by United Arab Emirates, and 2% by others, including Poet Ethanol, which I mentioned before. But the term public use and the interstate, it definitely was a public use situation. This is 100% a land confiscation. That's all it really is. Because in the Navigator pipeline, they're not even going to bury everything. They plan to sell it. They plan to sell the CO2 into making, blend it with hydrogen to make jet fuel. Right now, Colorado Springs, there's a jet that's running on a CO2-derived fuel. 100% what it's about is confiscating land and three companies monopolizing this tremendously valuable commodity called CO2. Now, why does it matter to anybody in Denver or Cheyenne or wherever you may be? Because, you know, Kim kind of dropped your mouth open at the money that's being paid. I would encourage anybody to go read the boondoggle that Steve King, who's on the board of the Free Soil Coalition, he's making sure that everybody understands exactly what's taking place here. And on the blog at freesoilcoalition.com, you can find all of this data that the 45Q tax credit will pay $85 per metric ton. To put that into context, three companies will acquire 8.1 billion to Summit and Navigator. There's a third pipeline, which is with Wolf and ADM. Wolf and ADM would acquire 3.7 billion annually. And then there's a payment of $1 per gallon to ethanol plants. That total taxpayer expenditure each year for the CO2 project, just in these six states, $17.6 billion annually in taxpayer money. For wow. Allowing three companies to monopolize a tremendously valuable commodity called CO2. Now, there's one other thing that I don't want to mislead. The eminent domain papers have been served, and that is saying that they can buy an easement for the property. So there will be crops destroyed in the construction of the pipeline itself. They are not going to necessarily not be able to use that land to produce food, although we know that once it's disrupted, it's never quite exactly the same. They do get a payment per acre according to the easement. But the challenge in this is that the easement is not just this narrow path where the pipeline is going to lay. The easement could be an entire quarter. There are some cases we know of an entire section, which is 640 acres. And that easement says that you can't do anything on that property without permission of whoever owns the easement. You cannot plant a tree on that property without permission from whoever owns the easement. The other part that's gravely dangerous is that there is no assurance that that easement won't be sold to a foreign adversary, such as China. So you could literally have, and you've already got the United Arab Emirates giving easements, and BlackRock buying easements. So they literally are going to control what you do with your property, despite you paying the property tax each year, you paying the mortgage, whatever that might be, and yet you don't have control of your land. This is a scheme for land control like nobody's ever come up with before.
Are you encourage that you can start to influence these Republican governors as you're shedding light on this? Christy Noem, through the whole COVID reaction where she said South Dakota is open, I've seen some of her videos. I thought, oh my gosh, here we have a real patriot. We have, someone that is really a representative of we the people. And I know that my listeners, we were also just astonished to hear this regarding these Republican governors. Can we get this turned around? I mean, there's big money in this, and that's a problem.
It is big money, and that's what's taking place in Iowa right now. Here's the good news. Summit was denied a permit in North Dakota. The Public Service Commission had hearings, like it's taking place in Iowa right now, and they denied their permit. Now, they are going to reapply, and in 2 years, they could go through this process and be approved for a permit. That's a bit of positive news. But I have to tell you about Christy Noem. She's the biggest fraud of all 50 governors in the nation. And here's why.
Oh my.
She was on Fox News bragging about keeping South Dakota open. Well, that's the last half of the story. She personally had somebody sponsor Senate Bill 1. And you can go dig up Senate Bill 1 in South Dakota in 2021. It was to shut down South Dakota immediately, exactly like other states were doing. And it was the South Dakota legislature that said, no, Christy Noem, you're not going to shut down South Dakota. South Dakota will remain open for business. The next day, she was on Fox News bragging that she was going to, the clip you just saw was the day after her state legislators told her that she was not going to shut this state down. And she's taking credit for something that she tried to actually make happen the opposite way. She's a fraud from day one, and she's farthest thing from a true patriot.
Wow, Trent Luce, you pull no bones on any of this. So I'm going to change gears in just a second, but this came in on the text lines. Text line is 720-605-0647. And one of our listeners said, I don't see any value whatsoever in CO2 pipelines. It sure seems like the emperor's new clothes ideology. Am I missing something? What's your thoughts?
No, there's nothing to think that's spot on, is it? There's
okay.
No value whatsoever in a CO2 pipeline. Zero.
Okay. Next thing, and again on the text line, if we are taking CO2 out of the environment, doesn't this affect our plants?
Correct. And we are already at the lowest critical point of CO2 in the atmosphere at 430 parts per million. That is as low as we should possibly be without affecting plant growth. If we were at 600 parts per million, we would have exponential more plant growth. We need more CO2 in the atmosphere, not less. And this is part of the whole starvation policy.
Well, and Trent, I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm not sure if you've had a chance to watch our documentary, A Climate Conversation, which we're going to be really rolling out here in September. But greenhouse gas, I mean, just think about when you go into a greenhouse, everything is lush. Everything's growing. And so isn't it interesting, this narrative, how they've said greenhouse, which typically that is plants thriving and flourishing, that then this gas that would make that happen is a bad thing. And as one of the scientists that's in A Climate Conversation said, that as we get warmer, that actually things thrive and flourish, and that as we're a little bit warmer, plants do not need to have quite as much water to thrive and flourish as well. So I find it so interesting that these words get hijacked. Greenhouse typically could mean thriving and flourishing, and they've made it seem something that's bad.
In fact, the greenhouse gases they talk about are all plant food, all contribute to healthier plants. Nitrous oxide, 78% of the Earth's atmosphere is nitrous oxide. That produces nitrogen, which is a plant food. Methane, 90% of the natural gas that we use for heating homes, but it's also used for generating a fertilizer, plant food. Methane is responsible for increased plant growth. Sulfur, we've reduced sulfur in our diesel to the point where now farmers are putting sulfur in their fertilizer mixes, where we never had to put sulfur in a fertilizer mix before because we've removed too much sulfur from the atmosphere. And then CO2. CO2 is a plant food. The more CO2 you have, just as you had just indicated, the less water you need for the plant to grow. All of those deemed greenhouse gases that have been demonized are plant foods, every one of them. They're responsible for increased plant growth.
Well, and that's why we need to continue to have these conversations so that people understand that. I'm talking with Trent Luce, sixth-generation farmer and rancher, and wanted to mention the USMC Memorial Foundation. I was out at the memorial last Saturday evening for their event, for the celebration of their 46th anniversary, and also of relighting the flags. With the rains that we had earlier this year, the electrical system was damaged. And thank you to all of you. The money was raised to repair that. But Paula Sarles and her team, Mary and all of them on the foundation board, are working diligently to raise the money for the remodel. You can help them by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. That's usmcmemorialfoundation.org. And show comes to you because of sponsors such as Boson Law.
Boson Law fights for clients who've been injured or family members who have lost a loved one due to the careless, reckless, or wrongful conduct of others. Whether injured in a car accident, suffered an injury due to a product or bad pharmaceutical drug, or need help fighting for medical care and benefits following an accident at work, don't go it alone and uninformed. Boson Law is the law firm you need in your corner. Time is of the essence with any personal injury claim. Call 303-999-9999 to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 303-999-9999. Call now.
No matter how you define it, inflation is out of control. Increasing prices at the gas pump and grocery stores are hurting everyday people. All these challenges we face are preventable. Individuals must understand what is going on and who is responsible. That is why Kim Munson is bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing our families, our communities, our state, and our country. Now more than ever, it's important to support Kim's independent voice. She has the courage to research and inform you about the real issues. It's not easy, and Kim could use your help. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute. Again, help Kim by contributing at KimMunson.com. That's MONSON.com.
Franktown Firearms wants you to be comfortable with your firearm purchase, so they make it easy for you. At Franktown, they know you want to try a firearm before you commit to your purchase. Franktown has a 10-lane, 30-yard range built into it that can handle handguns, rifles, and black powder loads, making your firearm purchase informed and insightful. An hour of range time is included with any purchase, so you can verify that you've made the right choice and for you to get to know your new firearm. And training courses are available to teach you safety and techniques to operate it confidently. Whether you're a first-time buyer or seasoned expert, Franktown's dedicated staff and expert trainers will walk you through your decision. They help you to try the firearm that you're interested in, ensuring that they're the right option for your specific needs. Whether you're looking for your first firearm or adding to your vast collection, contact Franktown Firearms today by going to klzradio.com/Franktown. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week will be September 11th through the 17th. This is their 12th annual. And they have amazing speakers each and every day. I will be up there on Friday evening and Saturday and Sunday. And I will be emceeing the main event where Dr. Carol Swain will be speaking. But I wanted to highlight on Thursday, September 14th, 5 o'clock at the Grand Lake Center, Drew Dix, a U.S. Army retired Medal of Honor recipient and co-founder of the Center for American Values, will be talking about the warrior culture, that is needed to defend our Constitution. And my friends, there are 65 Medal of Honor recipients that are still living. And the opportunity to meet a real hero doesn't come along that often. So again, Drew Dix will be one of the presenters on Thursday, September 14th. So be sure and check all that out at GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. Trent Luce is on the line with me. He's a sixth-generation farmer and rancher. And we have Wyatt in Wyoming. What is on your radar, Wyatt?
Well, good morning, guys. I'm just questioning, Trent, how, like, Governor Christie and Polis and a lot of these rhinos figure they're going to end up on top if and when this all breaks down. I'm just wondering, don't they ever look at history? I mean, Hitler's brown shirts were some of the first ones shot when their usefulness was done. And I would think that these people would be smart enough to look at history and realize that they are the modern day brown shirts.
Wow, that's strong. What do you think, Trent?
I'm perplexed by the number of people, Wyatt, that I run into that are just thinking about what they need right now and give zero thought and consideration to what this means long term. And Christy Noem is at the top of that list. I had a relationship with Christy Noem. And March the 10th.
Be careful when you say that.
2021. It was a proper relationship. March 10th, 2021, I sat in her office and explained the dangers of 30 by 30. And that is the Biden Executive Order 14008 that he signed January 27th, 2021, saying that 30% of the land and the water would be returned to its natural state. And I said, Christy, you've always had a campaign of standing up for property rights. And she said, Trent, thank you for spending the time bringing this to my attention. We'll get on it. She has not mentioned the dangers or even talked about 30 by 30 since that day. She has not at all acknowledged how the land is being taken by the federal government. On the other side of the coin, you have Gianforte in Montana that this week has filed a lawsuit against the federal government for issuing a permit to an American Prairie Reserve, who is trying to assist. This is a billionaire lush fund from New York City who's trying to put together 3.2 million acres contiguous in Montana and buying land. They're not taking it. They're buying land, but they are buying land no matter what it costs, and they want to take all of this 3.2 million acres out of food production. Well, you can't say anything about that, per se, because they're purchasing it, but they were granted unjustly a permit taken away from ranchers in Montana who want to produce food, and the governor and Attorney General Newsom this week filed a lawsuit saying that the federal government does not have the ability to grant this permit to this outfit. So kudos to Montana for standing up. Many other states need to take notice and be more like Montana in this situation.
Okay.
Well, we see that in northern Colorado, the city of Fort Collins bought Soapstone, 16,000 acres of ranch land they took out of production. The county owns Red Mountain, and then they've got the Roberts Ranch, where we had one lady say that it fits nicely into our portfolio. You combine that with the big hole in southern Wyoming, and there's probably 60 or 80,000 acres out of production, out of ranch land production. The city government tells us what we can do on that property that our tax dollars paid for. That you can't even take your dog out on 16,000 acres because it might poop. And I said, well, what the heck does the coyote do out there? You know, and it's just, and if you look at their mountains to plains corridor, this fits very nicely into their portfolio.
And that's not the proper role of government. Government should not be buying land. And again, competing with private enterprise on that land. Wyatt in Wyoming, thank you so much. We've got another caller, so I always love to hear from you, Wyatt. But we have Alan. Alan, what's on your radar? Okay. I'm sure we're going to get Alan here in just a minute.
Kim, while we're getting Alan, I wanted to just add to Wyatt's list The BLM last April purchased 35,670 acres called the Martin Ranch south of Casper in 2022. 35,000-acre ranch.
Wow. And I'm hoping we lost Alan, and hopefully he'll call back. We only have just about 3 minutes left. So, Alan, 303-477-5600, 303-477-5600. And, Trent, this is a real dilemma because with individual farmers and ranchers, it's becoming more and more expensive for them to try to farm and ranch because of, well, your inputs. You're seeing your diesel fuel is more expensive, your fertilizer is more expensive, and all of that is because of public policy. So it's putting the squeeze on these farmers and ranchers. And it's difficult to say, hey, they can't sell their land to someone that wants to buy it. But I think you mentioned something that is important, that this this new big entity that came in to purchase the land, they were getting special dispensation regarding some permits that was not being offered still to the farmer and rancher. So again, you've got government manipulating and picking winners and losers on that. So certainly property rights, people should be able to sell their land, but this is becoming a real problem, Trent. We've got a couple of minutes left.
Hold on.
We'll keep that for next week. Alan, we've got about a minute. I wanted to hear what you had to say.
You put so much information into a short period of time. It's because of your excellent training with Toastmasters. Echo is a sound that comes back to you, and eco refers to ecological kinds of things. Number two, I am far more concerned about CBDC, U.S. dollar, than I am about petrodollar. It all is part of the same fabric. We've got to fight the central bank digital currency with every fiber at our disposal. And there are values on both sides of the BlackRock thing. There are tiny eggs of shrimps that are millions and millions of years old, one of which is about the size of your thumb and is a miniature horseshoe crab. There are only a few places, and I lived in one in California, where every X number of years, sometimes more than 100, weather conditions allow these shrimp to hatch out. The people that do the Burning Man leave the appearance of the lake bed exactly the same pristine as it began and destroy millions and millions and millions of eggs of these prehistoric shrimp in the process. So there's some interesting stories there that may deserve a little attention, but I lived there, I knew about it, and I just wanted to bring those facts forward.
Okay. Alan, thank you so much. I think we've got a lot for Open Line Friday as well. We're out of time.
Yes.
Trent
Bye-bye.
Luce, I guess this will be cliffhangers for next week. We've got all kinds of things to talk about, Trent Luce.
We do. I don't know much about shrimp, but I like eating them.
Okay. And Alan and Wyatt, thanks for calling in. Trent Luce, we will talk to you next week. Thank you so much. And our quote for the end of the show is Adam Smith. It says, as soon as government management begins, it upsets the natural equilibrium of industrial relations, and each interference only requires further bureaucratic control until the end is the tyranny of the totalitarian state. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
If I don't survive, I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.